Lord, we rejoice that thou art gone to sit upon thy Father's throne. Thy path of shame and suffering o'er, thy heart shall grieve and mourn no more. Lord, that now we wait for thee to come and take us to thy Father's home. Oh, what ecstatic joy it will be to spend eternity with thee. 216.
Chapter this morning. May I suggest, if it's the mind of the brethren, to read on through the 28th verse?
What's your
second? 10th verse.
1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His foot, under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all.
Might we endeavor to clear up a matter that some were not clear about, a statement that was made this morning by the two of us. And it was certainly not as clear as it should have been put, and maybe someone can help on this. But it was a matter of the verse in Revelation chapter 20, and verse 14. Let us read from verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God or the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, I believe it's clear to everyone that all these stand before the great white throne are cast into the lake of fire there to suffer eternally. But this expression, death and Hades, is somewhat explained in verse 13, that death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, the contents that were in either that state or those that had died. Thus, and they were cast in the lake of fire. Well, one brother said that he thought that it looked like teaching annihilation. Well, I replied to him, no such thing, but it does teach annihilation of death and Hades. No more such thing exists throughout eternity as death, physical death, physical death. And no such thing as a disembodied spirit in the new heaven and new earth for eternity. That part, I think, is clear enough. There still remains this other question that the Holy Spirit...
might rise, though, of those who were holden by death, and that they are then raised for judgment, are they not?
When they stand before the throne, that's what settled that.
But that still remains that there are three kingdoms mentioned in Philippians. There are two in Colossians. That is, the things in heaven and earth will be reconciled, but the things under the earth will have to bow, as we have in Philippians 2, but they will never be reconciled forever. And so there is such a thing, though, as the judgment and the eternal death, in that sense, on all those who here are spoken of as in the lake of fire.
Yes. One other verse that was read a little while ago in this portion that our brother read is verse 26 of our chapter in Corinthians. The last enemy that shall be annulled is death. There will be no more physical death for all eternity. No more physical death. There will be the second death, which of course is the punishment of the wicked forever.
Isn't it remarkable that so early in the church, such serious heresies, such serious blunders arose as if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? How early error crept into the church. And the Apostle Paul was called upon to meet it over and over again, so that there's never a time when we're not to be on guard about these things. Here the question was, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? Well, in another case, they were teaching that the resurrection had already taken place. Well, both of these are errors, but they came out in the early church. And not necessarily that those that were teaching these errors were not saved, but they were blundering, they were stumbling around. And the apostle uses great pains to get things straightened out. Now, if after all has been explained and the atmosphere has been cleared, then if such say, well, I don't care what the apostle says, I still say that there is no resurrection of the dead. Well, then you have positive, open evil, and it has to be dealt with. But saints of God can get dreadfully mixed up. And it takes what Paul displays over and over again. It takes patience to deal with such and seek to get them straightened out.
We were mentioning this morning the seriousness of this error of the fact that the dead were not resurrected. I believe the Sadducees held this doctrine that there was no resurrection. Is there any record of any Sadducee ever coming to the Lord? It seemed to me the Pharisees, yes, they came to the Lord, but the Sadducees who did not hold this doctrine, I don't recall that any ever came to the Lord.
What we might call the modernism today.
Suppose we could say that every error is serious error. Some errors seem very serious when we first hear them. Others seem to be of much lesser importance, but every error is really serious because in some way or other it reflects upon the person or the work of Christ. I heard of a preacher in Ottawa years ago who gave a talk on the fact that there was no personal devil. And a couple of days later, a brother who knew him met him on the street and said, "I was very, very grieved, sir, to hear about the terrible attack you made on the person of Christ." "Oh," he said, "I made no such attack." He said, "Indeed you did. If there is no personal devil, could you please explain to me the temptation in the wilderness? With what was the Lord Jesus tempted if there is no personal devil?" And so I believe every departure from the truth, every error, no matter how it may seem to stand alone, actually is something to be guarded against. And I believe, brethren, that that's why we should value so very, very highly the wonderful privilege of the assembly Bible reading. the privilege of being corrected by our dear brethren, no matter how slight the departure from the truth may seem to be. I must confess, I hope I am not out of place in saying this, but I used to find fault with my dad when I'd come home from meeting. I would get after him for having been far too critical about some brother's comment. I'd say, but Father, he didn't really mean what you were trying to correct him for. Well, he'd say, son, even if anyone might have taken something out of it, it's well to be corrected and guarded. And I think, brethren, that it's so very, very much a cause for thanksgiving that we're privileged to be together, as gathered around the Lord Jesus, with the Spirit of God free to bring the truth before us, so that I believe it can be said with great thanksgiving, and I trust with humility, that in visiting among the gathered saints of God, I've never heard false doctrine. And I have visited in a number of places where perhaps they've never had the privilege we're having right now. But they have the assembly Bible reading, however weak it may be. And by the grace of God, sound doctrine is maintained. When I say I've never heard it, we might hear an inaccurate statement. By the grace of God, it's corrected.
I suppose there are those things that we may not be united in judgment about that couldn't be considered basic error, because if it is, then that necessitates doing something about it. So, meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we worse. We have to make allowance for difference in light, and so brethren have been happy to go on all these years, happy fellowship, but I've never known of a time when they were 100% agreed on everything. Have you? And if we would bring up some subject here this afternoon and be dogmatic about it, we could spoil our Bible reading. Is that right?
The apostle, though, from the beginning of our chapter, is very much concerned about the doctrine of resurrection.
That's fundamental.
And a brother asked me since the morning meeting, do the saints understand what it means to believe in vain in verse 2 of our chapter? The apostle says in verse 1, I preached unto you all that which I received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Now here's an if. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now the verses that we are taking up this afternoon, beginning in verse 12 and we're going on to verse 19, shows that if Christ has not been risen, then is the gospel vain. The whole point is that the very truth of the gospel presents a dead and a risen Christ. And if you don't believe that, well, you don't have anything that's worth anything. It's certainly a vain gospel to believe that that isn't true.
I was thinking of that when our brother Clark mentioned the Sadducees. He said he do not recall that any of the Sadducees came to Christ. Well, what point would there be in their coming to Christ if they didn't believe in the resurrection? We have these 7 points brought out here in connection with though if there's no resurrection. From verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then number one is our preaching vain. Number two, and your faith is also vain. Number three, yea, we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And then in verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, for the second time. Ye are yet in your sins, number five. And number six, then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Number seven, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But the next verse, but now is Christ risen from the dead. What a blessed and precious statement, the very foundation of all our blessing.
And then, I think. I didn't want to cut you off, brother.
That's all right.
Go
ahead.
Verse 17 might sum up these verses you read in a way to answer that in verse 2 about believing in vain.
Yes.
Verse 17 would be the interpretation of that thought.
Yes.
And if Christ be not raised, your faith, that is the gospel, your faith is vain. And then in the end of this chapter, it speaks about our labor is not vain. And it's based on resurrection. Verse 58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's because of resurrection. We are going to be glad of how we've labored for the Lord.
Thank you.